Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
One of the messages, one of the texts from a listener today, Dean, about the Alec Baldwin shooting,
yep,
says, it sounds like an episode of Matlock, and every day we seem to be finding out new information, and it's all bad, isn't it?
Yeah, if only Andy Griffith was here to sort it out.
Somebody.
Somebody. Perry Mason, get me somebody in here to sort all this out. An affidavit from the early part of the investigation was released yesterday, and we learned a couple of new things. It all seems to be focused around this assistant director that was attached to the movie, I guess still is, at least for now. His name is David Halls. According to the affidavit, he was the one that gave Baldwin the prop gun and declared it to be a cold gun, which is the term that is used on movie sets everywhere to indicate that the gun has been checked, that there are no live rounds in it, and that the gun is safe. But as we now know, as Alec Baldwin was rehearsing, the gun went off. But it's also revealed in that affidavit that a similar incident happened with the same assistant director when he worked on a film a couple of years ago that also resulted in a crew member being shot, not killed. It was only a minor injury in that other case, but the assistant director was fired from that movie. He has had no comment about the case involving Baldwin or the previous case, and we are also learning that there were at least two other prior incidents of weapons going off in previous weeks on this production of this movie, Rust, in which the shooting and the murder of Helena Hutchins took place. Some crew members actually resigned. They quit the movie because they had concerns about safety on this movie before any of this happened. So we'll learn more and more as the investigation continues, as information is revealed. But that's the latest on that horrific case.
And let's move on to the Netflix controversy now about that Dave Chappelle show. And I was looking at his response, and it doesn't seem like he's taking it that seriously.
No, he just kind of had it was a semi-serious response, but he was also joking about it. This is in regard to his latest stand-up special that has been accused of being transphobic and homophobic because of jokes that are in the special. The comedian is now saying that he is willing to talk to members of the trans community about it, but under certain conditions. He said that they have to watch the special in its entirety before he will talk to them about it, and that he gets to pick the time and the place, and that they also have to declare an Australian comedian named Hannah Goolsby, I believe her name is, has to declare her that she is not funny. So it's a partially, jokey, but he said that he's happy to sit down with them and talk to them about it. Although he said he is not going to back down to and bend to anyone's demands on this. He also revealed that he's got a documentary about the last tour that he did that was is scheduled to be coming out. It's already been booked into several film festivals around the country, but he said it is now getting unbooked at several film festivals around the country because of this controversy. The organizers of the walkout that took place at Netflix on October 20th said that they had invited Chappelle to come and speak with them, but nothing ever became of that. So we don't know if anything's going to become of this. In the meantime, more free publicity for the Dave Chappelle special.
Yeah, it's currently running on Netflix?
Yes, in case you haven't heard.
I haven't seen it.
I haven't watched it either. Not for any social reason or anything. I just haven't had time or thought of it, really. To sit down and watch it. I like Dave Chappelle. I know that his comedy is you know, very edgy, and that he pushes the envelope in everything that he does. So I think what he's saying is, like, you know, sit and watch the whole thing, watch the whole thing, and then, you know, make up your mind. But what he did say in previous interviews is that people are complaining about this special that have not even watched 1 minute of it. So which I think is, you know, that's, it's fair to say if you're going to complain about something. I know that that's how I, when people complain about me, I prefer that you at least listen to, you know, to what is being said before you start writing hate mail.
You think? I forgot to ask you yesterday about Curb Your Enthusiasm, which premiered again Sunday, and I forgot about it. My DVR grabbed it, and then I was going to watch it last night, but my wife is out of town. She isn't back till Wednesday, and she's going to get mad at me if I watch it without her. And then I thought, well, I'll watch it, and then I'll say, hey, I want to see it again.
Right.
But she won't like that. And then I thought, I'll say I didn't watch it, but then on the DVR, you know, it'll have that little indicator that says
that it's
you watched
been
it.
Watched, yeah.
So, but I guess it's good. Huh? That's what I'm hearing.
Can't you blame it on, you know, we had a talk about it on the show, so I had to. Had to do it for work. I didn't want to watch it. But,
good idea.
You know, Dean brought it up.
I don't think that'll fly.
I didn't want to seem uninformed when Dean was talking about it. I watched it. I stayed up late and watched it live on Sunday night. And I know 9 o'clock doesn't seem late for most people, but...
Yeah, for us it does.
In our particular world, 9 o'clock is like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning for most people. But I laughed my head off at it. It's classic. It is just classic Larry David, which I know a lot of people find him extremely obnoxious. And he is very polarizing. I just think he's hilariously funny in his curmudgeonness. They deal with COVID in this situation. I don't want to give away too much of what's in it, but the great Albert Brooks is featured in it, who, of course,
fantastic.
Is the brother of Super Dave Osborne, who was kind of a regular on the show before he passed away, of course. You know, anything that Albert Brooks is in is fantastic, but how they weave Albert Brooks, who wants to stage a memorial for himself so he can hear what people are going to say about him when he dies.
Don't tell him anymore.
That's not a spoiler. It's a premise that doesn't spoil anything. But
Annette watched it.
I did. And,
right?
And you, Dean, everything you say is spot on about it.
But the COVID, I wondered, you know, are they going to work in COVID? How are they going to work in COVID? They do. And that's the part that I won't tell you about.
Let me practice this. Marianne, Dean made me do it.
Right.
I'll go with that.
Yeah, Dean practically gave the whole premise away on the air.
Quick break, and then Dean has some celebrity real estate reporting and a kind of surprising announcement from Paul McCartney. We'll get to that. Bob Sirac, WGN. Been to Catch 35 on Wacker Drive. I was over there yesterday. Amazing food, terrific staff, and it's a great spot for work lunches, client dinners, post-work cocktails. And if you're concerned about driving downtown, it's a place that offers a deep discount on convenient valet parking, just $12 on Mondays. And they have select half price bottles of wine, too. And I'll tell you how you can make your reservations in a second here. I'll tell you, I almost had 3 desserts at the place yesterday. I had gelato and cheesecake, and then someone else at the table had a lava cake. I almost went for that, too. Great salmon, a great wine selection. And, man, the soup I had, the crab cakes, fantastic. Check it out. Catch 35. Make your reservation now at catch35.com. Let's get back to the entertainment news, Dean. And it sounds like Chance the Rapper is putting down some major roots here, huh?
Hang on. I'm still taking in your lunch menu from yesterday.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Do you ever have the key lime pie over there? I don't know if you like key lime pie.
No, but I hear it's fantastic.
I love it. I always have it when I go there.
If it was on the table, I would have been tempted to have four desserts instead of three.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you're hurting too much with Marianne being out of town.
You guessed it.
Going over to Catch 35.
Well, I would have told her I just had the salmon there.
Healthy stuff.
Yeah.
I understand. Yes, Chance 35, Chance the rapper, just purchased a new home. A modest hamlet in North Suburban Bannockburn for the price of $2.3 million. It is a five-bedroom, 9,200-square-foot mansion. Sits on 3.7 acres, has 6.5 bathrooms in it, 6 fireplaces, a library, rec room, game room, movie theater, pool, and a 4-car garage. I like that it's got... 2 more bathrooms than it does garage space for some reason. But congratulations. I know that Chance, when he had a red carpet for his movie that came out in June, and I talked with him and also his dad, and he told me that he was developing some property up in that area, including a recording studio, a big recording studio. So he's interested in... developing a complex similar to what Tyler Perry's got going on. Maybe not quite as vast, at least for right now, but he's definitely making that his headquarters up in that area. Mm.
What was this deal the estate of Luther Vandross made?
Yeah, Luther passed away, got to be 10, 12 years ago, something like that, but his estate sold his music catalog, his likeness, his name, everything, to a publishing company for $40 million. Not terribly unusual when somebody of note passes away. They continue to make money. But $40 million, that's a pretty huge deal. So if somebody wanted to use one of his songs in a commercial or something, cha-ching, this company now that owns the rights to the name Luther Vandross, his image and his music has to pay up. Which got me thinking about what other celebrities who have passed away, what their incomes are. Not surprisingly, Michael Jackson is the number one dead celebrity still making money.
Mm-hmm.
His estate took in $48 million last year, $48 million for Michael Jackson. Then after that, it was Dr. Seuss that took in $33 million. Well, I guess now it would be Luther Vandross with $40 million, but... Because Dr. Seuss took in 33, Charles Schulz, 32.5, Arnold Palmer, the golfer, $25 million, and Elvis Presley took in $23 million.
Still up there.
In the year 2020.
Finally, what's Paul McCartney saying now about autographs?
Says he's not going to give out autographs anymore, which on the surface sounds kind of cold and aloof and all that. But he said, he's been doing it for all of these years, happily giving out autographs. People these days are, wanting photographs more often than not. But he said he never really understood the concept of, somebody getting out a crumpled up piece of paper and asking him to sign his name on it. He never understood what, that people can prove that they met him. He said he would rather stop and have a meaningful conversation with somebody rather than sitting down and signing an autograph for him. So
nothing will be signed, but it's going to be tossed.
Exactly. Thank you, Ringo.
That is exactly right. Ringo has been very vocal lately.
You know what? Everybody wants a selfie anyway. Nobody wants an autograph now.
No, the people just don't do that anymore. But he said he said, let's chat and exchange stories.
Yeah, that's nice.
I would rather do that. So the next time you run into Paul McCartney, or Bob, if you see Bob at Catch 35.
Get a cup of coffee and sit down.
Sit down, exchange some stories.
I wonder if Ringo is going to toss iPhones if somebody tries to take a selfie. We'll have to check on that. Thank you, Dean.
No objects to be signed. Nothing.
I know.
Anyway, peace and love.
Peace and love, Dean. Talk to you tomorrow. Too.